it's time to welcome David Armitage, part of the ESP Group, Elite Sports Property, and they've got a great stable of footballers that we'll be lending on during the season. And David, we always planned for you to come in tonight. It was perfect timing because the Saints had a great win. You had a great game, but I guess for the group, it's great to get a monkey that some people existed off your back and get 4 points in the bank.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me. Yeah, it is, like you say, Finey. A little bit of a monkey off the back. There was a few people that had picked us for the wooden spoon. I know it's only early, it's only two games in, but yeah, we think we're playing some really tough footy at the moment. You know, last week didn't really go our way, but this week certainly did, and we kept at it for four quarters. So yeah, it was a good win, and the boys are up and about at the moment.
David, welcome, and it's great to have you here in this part of the program. I'm going to ask you some questions that you know, you might have to keep it pretty tight, but just the philosophy of the midfield these days, you see the number of rotations. It's a two-part question. We were discussing in our preview about the Maverick Weller, Gary Ablett normal matchup.
Yeah.
When is it decided? Is it decided on the ground? When, you know, Gary could have played full forward, he could have been wing, he could have been on ball. Have you already allocated a player, or do you go out there and assess the situation, and is there a leader that takes control, like a Geary, and says, right, I've got him, and the message comes down to the midfielders from the coach, we're happy with that, leave it like that at the moment. How does that planning work once the game starts?
Yeah, sure. It's done all during the week, believe it or not. So, you know, Gaz is obviously a terrific player, and I'm sure he'll bounce back. He's had two quieter weeks. But, yeah, when he's in the midfield, Mav's role was certainly to take Gaz.
Right.
And then if he went forward, Jaron Geary's, it was his turn. So, basically, he went forward. But then if he came back up into the midfield, as a forward, Gears would still play on him, but then if he hung around, then he'd just hand him over to Mav. So
yeah,
it's all planned during the week. And but
when
you're
fantastic.
When you're out there in the heat of the moment, you've got to realise what's going on. There's a lot of moves that go on, and So the
and
boys
that's part
really
B
good.
That I want to take into. You'll be in the midfield with Weller and let's say
probably somebody called Jack.
Jack Stephen.
There's so many Jacks down there. Yeah. Jack Stephen, yeah, Jack Goon,
two
Jack
blokes
Lone.
Go off and two come on. How quickly do you allocate opponents?
Yeah.
And who is the leader of that? Do you have a big say in that? Do you go, I've got Bunnell, you take... Is that how it works so quickly with rotations?
Yeah, it does. A lot of the time in the centre bounce, you allocate... Basically, who you start on is who you're going to follow around from spreading from the stoppage, and then you'll line up at the next stoppage. But you're right, as soon as you run off, it might two or three of the mids might come off, but it's up to the person that comes off to communicate who you just had. But even if they run off, then you just go to the next stoppage and you know going in, planning again, you know who's going to be the midfielders inside and who's going to be outside the stoppage. So it's, again, all previewed during the week, and you kind of know your matchups that you're going to be on. So basically, if it's not Gaz, because Mav will be on Gaz, it'll be one of the other two. So we do all that during the week, but yeah.
But there must be a hell of a lot of communication between you, because you turn around and you go to a boundary throw-in, they might bring a half-forward up, Ablett might drop out the back. You've got to be talking all the time.
All the time, and that's why the best teams do communicate around the stoppages. And you have, you know, Hawthorn are great at it because they have so many generals around there, Mitchell, Lewis, Hodge. They're all pointing and yelling the whole time, and they don't shut up. So
you can hear them all the time.
Yeah, you can always hear them, and all the great teams.
And would I be wrong in suggesting you did not hear one word? You know, it's a difficult question for you because you're pretty loyal to your fellow footballers. Would I be right in suggesting you wouldn't have heard much talk at all from the opposition on the weekend?
Oh, no, there was certainly some talk, but
right.
When things, you start to, it's funny, it's as much mental as it is physical. So as soon as you start, things aren't going their way, all of a sudden you get momentum and you get on top and you start sort of believing that, you know, they're starting to fight or whatever amongst themselves and said, you should have been there or that, and then they start that kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, once you get a sniff of that, you sort of, you go on with it.
Well, worth the admission price.
Hang on. This is David Armitage's dog. This is a major problem at the St Kilda football. It's back.
What?
Our key midfielder. We've got a young midfield. We can't afford one of the key blokes up all night. Not with a baby, with a dog. Tell the story, Omar.
Yeah, I got a little puppy. It was Roxy, but for everyone listening out there, it's near Ari. my girlfriend wasn't real happy with Roxy, so I had to change the name.
I thought the dog got red carded.
No. So I had to change the name. And the first couple of nights she was keeping me up, so about 1 or 2 in the morning, and then straight up again at 5:30. So not a lot of sleep in the first couple of nights, but she's definitely toned it down now, and she's good now.
Have you heard of the back door?
Yeah.
Have you got a backyard?
I do. I've got a backyard.
Well, just put it outside.
No, it's a bit cold out there, mate.
Neighbours. Oh, it's a bit cold. Oh,
she just goes in the laundry and...
You're going to be a great dad.
Yeah, one day.
Big sweetheart. So what, did the coach have to step in here? You can't do it 4 hours sleep because of a pet dog.
Yeah, no. Apparently, someone did say that one of the journos brought it up with Richo, and he did say that he might have to take it out onto his property. He's got a fair bit of land up there, and I was giving it up to Richo. Who knows what would have happened with it?
If you give it to Richo, it'll be 2 go out, only 1 come home.
Yeah, that's right.
So please don't. Actually, now Richo lives. I went to a Eastern Suburban footy game where he was leaning over the back fence. So
yeah, he's up there somewhere. I'm not exactly sure where it is.
Up in the hills where they've got banjos.
Yeah, exactly.
This game on Saturday night for the Saints was... Look, every team wants to play like the Doggies and the Saints. When they were up this week, it was all about tackle and pressure, and it came off really well. And I'm sure Richmond and Gold Coast wanted to do that as well. Something happened very early in the game that sets a tone, and I'm sure had it not happened, the effort and the endeavour still would have been there. But how good was it to get... For St Kilda, it was Jack Nunes running down Jared Harbrow. And for the Doggies, they had their moments early in the game against Richmond as well. A couple of big crunching tackles through the middle of the ground. And it sets a tone, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, mate. And even earlier, that no one would have noticed because the ball was out of the area. It was actually our big ruckman, Billy Longer, who had a great game, I thought. He had something like 39 hit-outs or something like that, which was terrific, even though we ended up losing the clearances. But... I think Gary Ablett got hold of the ball and he tackled him to the deck, and that there was, we always talk about your first contest and what you're involved in, and that was Bill's first contest, was a tackle on Gaz, and you know, really drove him into the ground, and I think that set the scene for us. And then all of a sudden, like you said before, our pressure was outstanding and we really came forward hard and just turned them into fumbling. And we know, we've had it before firsthand, that when teams put massive pressure on you, even in the NAB Cup game that Hawthorn did, you end up, it's that perceived pressure and you start turning the ball over, and that's what we emulated to the Gold Coast on the weekend. But you're right, Nunes' tackle on Harbrow, who's, you know, you'd say he'd have him for pace. It was just the endeavour and the commitment to the task, and he was brilliant, Jack.
Give the, Mark and I were talking about it in the break, Dave. Give the listeners an insight into your schedule, particularly your meeting schedule. You talked about that's covered, you know, Ablett was covered with Mav and...
Can we have a bit of fun here? But serious fun.
I'm very serious football, man.
I'm serious fun. Where, Dave, if you go through the week...
Yeah.
In what an AFL football in 2015 does, so we'll say Monday. Let's say the game is on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go through my work.
And you'll go through it when you were coach, say if it's wrong.
As a player.
Okay. So what year was that?
I finished in 83.
First of all, in 1983, how tall were you?
6'3", 192.
What position did you play?
Centre? Fullback.
Ruck rover?
Fullback. Back pocket. Looked after the big fellas.
Key position or on the resting ruckman. How tall are you, Armour?
I'm 185.
And you... I'm not going to do this. How tall would Blake Akers be?
He'd be taller than me. Yeah, he'd be about 190.
What do you weigh?
This year, I'm 85 kilo.
Yeah, I was about 89, 87.
But Blake Akers is 190 and he'd be...
Yeah, He'd be 90 kilos.
90 kilos. Yep. He's a midfielder.
He's a midfielder. It's amazing how these days the midfielders are 6'3". You know, the classic one is Freo. You look at Fife and Mundy and they're huge.
We mentioned, you know, in our review today, we mentioned the Carlton midfield, how they're really ball players. You know, you got Murphy, you come up against Murphy, you come up against Judd, you come up against Gibbs. Simpson on the wing's always an issue for club planning. You've still got some small players, but your small players are exceptionally talented. Loney is a very interesting player, as is Sinclair. Sinclair and his Scotch College mate Billings.
Mm. One funny thing was Jack Loney, if you actually look at him, you wouldn't think he's a footballer. Like, the kids ran out on the field the other night up at the Gold Coast and a few of the boys were joking about, you know, Jack's getting autographs because he looks like one of the kids. But he is unbelievably tough for how small he is and how committed he is to wanting to win. Him and Jack Sinclair on the weekend, it's like they've been out there for 100 games. It's ridiculous the way they talk and the way they just want to win.
Is there a kid called McKenzie who's pretty talented as well down there?
Yep, Daniel McKenzie. And I reckon he's not far away from getting a game by all reports. The last two games he's been brilliant for Sandringham. I think he won't be far off at all.
Well, just
let's go through. We'll take a break.
All right.
We'll come back and we'll go through the week in 2015 as compared to in 19.
How old's your dad?
My dad?
Yeah.
He is turning 60 this year.
Yeah, he's the same age as mate.
Yeah.
Right? So
54.
Yeah, that's 54. So he's my son. So I'm,
Hey, Dad.
So I can talk about what we did when we played. It's going to be very interesting.
Unfortunately, I'm your brother and he's my nephew.
Yeah. You owe me $4,000.
Yeah, for that quaddy.
Yeah, well, half of it. You didn't tip me in.
Yeah, I reckon I was into Fitzroy for the next 2 years and we might have had parity. Welcome back. Robert Shaw in for New York Minute Burgers. I've told you they're in Mooney Ponds and Williamstown. I'll now tell you where. Mount Alexander Road, Mooney Ponds. And in Williamstown, down there on the foreshore, which I believe is known as Nelson Place or Trafalgar Square or something like that, or the Boulevard, but I'm going to get the details in a moment. I know the burgers are brilliant, and also for a gourmet burger outlet, and they're the equal of any, they're better value than the others. David Armitage is in the studio for Ari, his renamed pet dog, that will sleep better this week. Because it has to. 1973. You played on Saturday afternoon.
Righto. This is my week.
Okay.
Right. Seconds at 12, seniors at 2. Saturday football.
Yes.
We're in the seniors. You watch the seconds till three-quarter time. None of this Nick Riewoldt and James Hurd walking around the ground 3 hours before the game bouncing the ball. Quick change. Quick rub down. A few hamstring stretches and into it.
When do you brush your moustaches? Because you all had moustaches.
Yeah, we all had moustaches. So you're into it. So you're playing St Kilda at Moorabbin.
So on that
preparation, you've got Barry Lawrence, Kevin Neal, Carl Dittrich, etc. So you're into it.
Yep.
So the game finishes, you go back to your Essendon Football Club social club and mix with your members till midnight.
How much are you allowed to drink?
Well, it was unlimited. Fortunately for me, I was basically a non-drinker and have been all my life. So it didn't really appeal to me, but the social benefits did, Mark.
Okay.
Right? So you're there till midnight, and then you might go to a party at one of the players' place. The old-fashioned parties, you know.
There's smoke in the house because everybody's smoking the cigarettes in the house.
Sunday morning.
I love it.
Sunday morning compulsory Sunday morning training. The only problem was that it was also a pleasant Sunday morning where they brought a band in and put it in the club rooms.
And a keg.
And a big keg. And you go and run two laps, have a stretch, and then you're into the pleasant Sunday morning till 12 o'clock. From 12 o'clock, you made your way to the closest, either Preston, Brunswick, or the Coburg Oval to spend the afternoon on the hill with your mates, drinking all afternoon, watching the VFA, watching the legends of VFA football with the big crowds as you followed. And then I would go home because I was reasonably dedicated. Then the other boys would head off to
down to Caulfield to the Bear Cave.
To the Bear Cave till 2 o'clock in the morning. Get up in Monday.
Yep.
Come in for training on the Monday.
What time on a Monday?
After work. 5:10, start training.
Work? You're playing footy. What work?
Work. No, your work, Mark.
What work?
Well, they were schooled. They worked.
Xbox.
No, he'll tell you that story. So we went to work from 8 till 5. And then on Monday, you'd run a few laps, have a few kicks for goals. You'd train very, very hard Tuesday night. Very, very hard.
What was very hard? There was contact, wasn't there?
Oh, contact. You were up to an hour off the fence, paired up. They rolled the ball out there, and you fought tooth and nail till you got it back.
Well,
I always got my best mate and my best man because no one else would go with him. So I was the sacrificial lamb for Ronnie Andrews. And then
did he hit you?
It doesn't finish yet.
Did he belt you?
No. Okay. Then it didn't finish there because Thursday night was always Essendon drive-in night. So you'd have four blokes, four...
No women?
Four girls in your E.H. Holden.
Fair enough.
And the girls would have to squeeze over so you could put the esky in the middle of the back seat.
This is after training on a Thursday. You go to the Essendon drive-in
because that's how you found out the team. That was our excuse because the teams were released.
I got a feeling that's how you made Dustin Fletcher and Joe Watson.
that's how you found out the team on radio. You didn't have, radio. On 3DB at 9:30. So if you got a game, there used to be two shows.
Did you ever lose a bird because you got dropped?
No, 7:30, you'd have the first movie when it got dark,
yeah.
And then at 9:30 on would come 3DB, or this is in the 70s, or the league teams in those days, yeah. And here is the Essendon side to play.
From the back line.
Laurie Maloney.
Pat Wellington.
No, Laurie Maloney. Who was fullback? Ken Fletcher.
Okay.
And Young Shaw. Right, that's it. We're off. We go home.
You go home.
But if we didn't get a game, bugger them. We're in the seconds. We watch the next week. And that was our week.
But the seconds started earlier, so you stayed out later for the early game. Yeah, pretty dedicated.
But you saw the footy.
When did you watch footage of the opposition teams and do all your plans?
Not them. I really got into it. The professionalism changed remarkably very quickly with, firstly, Barry Davis.
With electricity. Yeah.
79, 80.
Yep.
Fantastic. And that moved on.
So why did you sack him?
I think he sacked himself, Barry.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. That's a version. Yep.
He got us in the finals. And in the next year, he said, if I don't get you in the finals again. And then, of course, that opened the door for Sheets to come in with the ultimate professionalism. And that's when we did sort of stop all that sort of stuff.
But seriously.
Team meetings on oppositions and video analysis and match reports. That's when all that started.
But seriously, when you were playing, there was no footage of the opposition.
No.
Now, you were coached by Tuddy for a time.
Yes, he was my first coach.
Did you have to sit down and do some sort of intel on your opponent? Because you had a direct opponent.
No, because we all knew the paper teams were the teams. So
yeah,
for example,
that's right. So you're going to play on... You are playing on Dean Herbert from Richmond now. He's a young...
Give me a look. Who did I play against St Kilda? I played a lot on Alan Davis. I played a lot on Spook Gault in the pocket.
Grambo ever come down and annoy you?
No, thank goodness. Well, particularly his dad. He was...
Mick.
Yeah.
But did you do any discussion about who you were playing on?
No.
Were you given any direct instructions by Tuddy? Look, Davo's good. Clock him early. That sort of stuff.
No, and you know I wouldn't have done that because that is...
He would have killed you.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. You would have been... You would have been casketized.
One of the great days of my life when he came to play for Essendon. And that was us. And then Sheeds bought this remarkable... We trained three nights a week. We had opposition meetings. We had video. We would have tea on Thursday night. And then we would go into our room and plan. And this is...
Now, just on the Saturday. 81. Saturday morning, you wake up. What do you eat for breakfast before a game? What did you have on Friday night and Saturday morning before the games? Friday night?
Fish and chips or steak and chips or... McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah, a good meal. And you had a good brekkie. You know,
what
cereal,
did you have for breakfast?
Cereal and fruit and toast and probably a big can of big drink of Sustigen or something like
okay.
that.
Okay, oh, you were up with it. Okay.
Yeah.
Fast forward
30 years.
Okay. Saturday night, St Kilda played on the Gold Coast. What happens straight after that?
Yep, so straight after that, we're singing the song, which was good.
Right. You never sang the song.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah, that's good. Did everybody know it?
Yeah, they did. It's a
pretty
easy
simple
one, our
song.
One.
Try play for GWS.
Yeah, I know.
Need to learn Russian.
And then we're basically straight into stretching after that. for about 5 minutes. Then we're in the ice bars after that for about 10 minutes. Then we're straight onto the bus back to the hotel for dinner. And then, yeah, basically you're straight up to your room and you try and sleep.
Is it one to a room or you're rooming?
No, one to a room. Yeah. Okay. Which is good because then you don't have, you know.
Who would be the worst person? If at St Kilda, who would be the short straw?
Oh, probably Jarryn Geary. He is just an absolute pest. Yeah, he gets on your mind. Like, you'd be asleep and he'd come over and, I don't know, he'd try and wake you up somehow. Won't go into details, but...
Taggers.
Yeah, I know. And then basically try and get to sleep, but it's very hard to get to sleep after a game. You're probably up till 2 or 3 in the morning, so... and then you're up again at about 8 the next morning and you're down the beach for recovery. So that was basically, you know, there's a lot of recovery and stretching and massage and stuff like that that goes straight into it.
So Sunday morning you have to be, it's part of your commitment, you're up early for recovery.
Yep. So you're up at about 9 o'clock. If it's in Melbourne, we'll be at somewhere down Brighton or St Kilda, just going in the water down the sea bars there and doing that for about 15, 20 minutes with a bit more stretching. And then the fun stuff starts, all the meetings for the week.
Now, this, okay, the fun's, it's tough on footballers, isn't it? Because you like playing footy. It's a great game.
Yeah, exactly right.
Sitting in rooms isn't playing footy. When's the first meeting after a game? And is it about the game just gone or is it about the game coming?
No, it's about the game just gone. So, what's today? Monday. Yep. So, today we were in there this morning. And actually we're in there in the afternoon. We got the morning off because we've only got a 6 day break this week. But yeah, we basically, reviewed the game and the plan we had to the game going in. So we'll have maybe 3 or 4 things that the coaches put together. You know, for instance, on the weekend it was pressure and coming forward, and it's something that, you know, we nailed and the plans give you the best opportunity to win. And we basically nailed the 3 things we're after. So we have a plan every week and we go through if we ticked it off or not. And then we go through...
And how's that done? Are there examples from the game shown?
Yeah, there's all types of vision from the game shown. So the coach will go through...
Will every player be visioned? So do you sort of sit there thinking, I hope I'm part of the good example, not the bad example?
Yeah. Every player wants to be involved in the good, which is, you know, strong tackles or going back with the flight or something like that. But then again, if there's other things that you weren't so good at, like you might have ducked your head or pulled out of a contest or something like that, that also gets shown up. Because we're, you know, it's not an attack on the person itself. It's to get the team better and we want to be known as a tough team. So that's basically what we go through. And then we break it down even further. So we have, you know, mids will show some things, the backs will show some things, and the forwards will show some things, and we just go
in
through...
In separate groups?
Yeah, in the same thing, but what their plan was. So the midfield, you know, get X amount of tackles or win the contested ball, for example. So we just review that, and if everything's green on the Monday morning...
How long would that take from walking in and sitting down to getting up and walking out that same door? How long can that take?
It depends if you win or lose. If you win, normally it's quicker, but if you lose, you can be there up to 2 hours. So,
whoa.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. I actually feel sorry for the coaches because as soon as the game finishes, they're there on their laptops coding the game, every single stoppage and mark and kick and everything like that. So they work really hard, but that's what it is these days. It's a massive business and everyone strives, you know, to be the best, and you have to, that's what goes into it, and the best teams do it well. So
your next meeting is the opposition?
That'll be just the plan that we did, and then so tomorrow we'll have another meeting before we run out for training, and it'll be basically how we defended when they had the ball, and then how we used the ball. So defence and offence as well. That'll be tomorrow.
Is the senior coach at all of these meetings or the specific area of responsibility coach?
Yeah, no, he's in all the meetings. But so tomorrow, yeah, the Denny Sexton, who's, you know, head of the coaching department, he will take the, the defence and the midfield coach, Adam Kingsley, will take the offence and ball use. So, yeah, they basically run that, but the coach just oversees everything.
Then you hit the track.
Then we're out in the track. Again, because it's a short week, we play Friday night, so we will probably have a 20-minute session of just of kicking the ball and going through just your fundamentals and your basics.
20 minutes after a warm up.
Yeah, after the warm up. Yeah.
20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 or 30 minutes. Just this week.
All right.
Normally we're out there if we say have an 8-day break and we train Thursday, then we'd be out there for an hour and a half. But
right.
Because
yeah.
we've had 2 6-day breaks, we won't do much tomorrow. But then again, in the afternoon, we have meetings on this game coming. So we'll break up into our lines, backs.
That's three, Finey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Backs, mids, and forwards. And we will again go through the plan, what we think will work, and we'll look at vision of who they played the week before and how they attacked them and exposed them and whatnot.
At this point, we're still in Tuesday, aren't we?
Yeah, still Tuesday. Yeah.
Now, David Armitage, if you've just tuned in, is in the studio and we'll.
Magnificent insights.
It's
fantastic.
It's almost grinding. It's brilliant to listen to. I'm not saying it's boring to listen to, but it's grinding. What time do you get to the club on a Tuesday? What time do you drive through the gates, say, on the Tuesday, if there were gates?
8:30.
What time do you leave?
Leave home?
No, leave the club.
The club.
Yep.
Probably about 4:35.
So it's a full day. It is a real full day at the club. And there's maybe been 20 minutes of ball handling, is that in
just,
a short week?
Yep.
Wednesday, is there a day off during the week?
Yep, day off Wednesday. So a lot of players come in and get physio and massage.
And do players take it upon themselves to do their own intel before a game? Can you go, for example, could you go to one of the footy managers and say, look, last time we played Collingwood, their midfield, there's some new faces there. I didn't know much about Thomas or Seedsman or whatever. Can you reference that? Is it like a library where you can sort of go and they press a button and go, right, here's what you want. Seedsman, Collingwood, sit down and I'll show you. Can you do that?
Yeah, definitely. In our players' room, where the ping pong table and all that kind of stuff is, there's 4 computers set up and it basically has... from, I don't know, early 2000s, it has vision of basically everything. So every games, player. Individuals,
right.
Every stop, everything you can think of. So, I mean, this week, if I wanted to go look at Scott Pendlebury, for instance, I just go on the server, look at whatever game he's played in, and then just click on his highlights and see what he does.
And it'll isolate his highlights, Mark. It won't be the game, it'll be...
Yeah, his highlights, yep.
Yeah.
So they do that for the 22.
See,
the
everywhere
players.
He starts, his starting points, his finishing points at stoppages, who blocks for him.
Exactly right.
And what they're going to do to
him. Codes everything.
Yeah.
And I guess at some clubs, some footballers really rely on that, and others are more instinctive, so others are more self-educated from game experience.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it just depends what you want to put in. I mean, you'll go down individually with your coach anyway and look at certain players who... he thinks you'll play on and match up on. So I'll go through about maybe 3 or 4 different players with my midfield coach and, weaknesses and strengths of theirs, and that'll be basically it. And then it'll be up to me whether I want to go do a little bit more.
Who and how is the team read out? And has the coach already gone to the players that are the missing? In my day, we just had to... cop it sweet. Here's the team.
Yeah, it is.
Why am I out? Well, no, you're out.
It is funny you say that because I remember this was back a lot of years ago when I first sort of started that. I think I was watching the footy show one Thursday night and it said I'd been admitted and I hadn't been told. So that was a bit of a shock.
So when is that meeting? Is everyone in and Richo up the front from the... is it the old from the back line or do you find out individually? How do you announce your team to each to the...
well, after our second main training session, which if it was a normal week, if we played on Saturday, it'd be Thursday.
Yeah.
After that training session, we'd have recovery, then we'd have weights in the afternoon. And then this is where Richo's fantastic. He'll come around to every single player, no matter if you're playing VFL or AFL, during your weight session, and he'll grab you aside and basically say, you're in the team, this is why. You're not in the team, this is why.
Right.
So he's fantastic.
40 players.
Yeah, 44 players, yep.
These team meetings, by the way, how many players are in the team meeting? Obviously, for the players, the 22 that played on the weekend, it's extremely relevant, and it still is relevant for those who didn't play, but probably, you know, harder to... The 2 hours would be longer if you're not part of the team.
Yeah, it is, but as Richo says, you're a AFL player playing
So
AFL.
Everybody's there?
Yes, everyone's there. Wow. And it's probably even more beneficial for them because, you know, they're obviously not in the team. There's a reason why. So they have to have a look at all the stuff that we do and why they're not in the team and see what it takes to be in the team. So it's very beneficial for those guys.
And that conversation could take 30 seconds. Armour, you've got... You're in the centre. You know, you'll be named the centre. You'll start in the centre square and, you know, Thomas will come through. Or not Thomas.
Whoever's in there.
Pendlebury will come through there. Swan will come through there. And it'll just be a brief discussion with someone like yourself along those lines?
Yeah, yeah. It'll just be more about leadership. Just, you know, lead the young blokes. Do what you do. Lead by example, basically. But, yeah, if it's a younger guy and he'll basically ask, do you have any concerns? And that's when they can say, yeah, I'm not sure about this or that. And then
in the same environment, the lad that gets omitted will be, you know, after he does his bicep curls, come over here, son.
Yeah, come over here, mate. Look, you weren't great on the weekend because of this, and this. I want you to go back. And
we're
going to
bring in Montagna, and you've cost your spot.
Yeah,
it can be as simple as that.
Yeah, it can be as simple as that.
Yeah, okay. That's fantastic.
It's a fantastic insight, and David, we hope will be back during the season. There's so many more elements to it that are fascinating, Armo, because this is at all clubs. The rotations that we as football fans just take for granted, it's just magic. There's 18 players for each team on the side, four in the middle, and everybody normally is doing their job. It's sort of a choreographed ballet that must require, again, a lot of preparation and study. But we'll
just one more quick one, Mark. You're from Queensland. Have you got mates or have you developed mates in other teams?
Yeah, I do.
Would that be across the board pretty consistent when you all talk together and you're going, oh, we've got these bloody meetings, we've got three. That would be a thumbnail sketch right across the board, you would imagine,
from what
you know?
Yeah,
and that's why, and that's why, gentlemen, I wanted to create the 19th club.
Who's that?
The Whackers. And believe me, when players come out of free agency and I tell them this is a club with no team meetings, plenty of drinking, just get your weight right, your head right, and we'll go out there and smash them. I reckon we'd pull a lot of players from... There'd be plenty of guys say, you know what, we're going to go play for the Whackers this season.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd be able to get up for the next week, though. That's the only thing.
Well, we might... They would still... I think players could still be extremely fit, train hard, etc. Sure, on the field, they might be caught out for a few set plays, but by God, we'd have a talented list, and they'd play for less. You would have, Shorey. Not going to happen, though.
I would have.
Welcome back, David Armitage. Can I mention what Terry Wallace?
Oh, it's great feedback.
Because you and Plough are good mates.
Because Plough's a listener, as we listened to him, and he said, with David there, and he just said, that's the best footy chat I've heard in a long time.
Thanks a lot, Plough.
Thanks, Plough.
That means a lot.
Thanks, Plough.
It's a great insight into the rigorous preparation, the meticulous preparation that all football clubs go through. And one of the people that was at the forefront of the changing face of preparation, because Fletch, between playing his first game of AFL football to today, where he's head of the Queensland Academy, and 23 years of that spent at AFL clubs, Adrian was in many instances architect of some of these changes that see you today, David, doing a lot of homework before a game of footy and after a game of footy. Fletch, how are you, mate?
You're fine. You sound happy this week. Something must have happened on Saturday night.
You know what happened on Saturday night? I actually listened to your preview, and for the first time, both clubs were given respect and also weaknesses were noted, because I've got to say that it's easy when a team finishes on the bottom. This is not about St Kilda. It's easy when you do your pre-season predictions to say, right, the bottom team's the worst team, the top team's the best team, and once I do everybody in the middle, I have to make these two teams terrible and brilliant. I think in footy they say your club's never as bad as you think it is when they're going bad or as good as you think it is when they're going good. And I think the Hawks and the Saints proved that on the weekend.
Yeah, no, when you've got young players coming through, as St Kilda has, well done, David. Great win on the weekend, I was there. When you've got young players playing with energy and mentality, they were there for 120 minutes and they deserved to win the game. They put massive pressure on the ball carriers of the Gold Coast and they couldn't get it out of their defensive area. They kept turning it over and St Kilda went back in smart and basketballed and found somebody inside 40 and Bruce stood up and kicked six goals. Well done.
I will not ask David or any of the AFL footballers that come in here to speak either positively or disparagingly about their opposition because it's inappropriate, but in two games, Gold Coast have given more inexperienced teams in Melbourne and St Kilda, and when I say more, yes, more than them even in terms of wins in recent years, I think they've given them a sniff early in the game by a bit of tentative football, and football and teams pick up on that. It looked like both Melbourne and St Kilda were given a bit of a red rag to a bull by Gold Coast, and they took up the challenge.
Yeah, you're spot on, Finey. When things ain't going well, the Gold Coast don't go and play on an opponent. They actually try and put numbers behind the ball, and actually confusion sets in because they try and handball their way out from 30 metres out from the opposition goal, and St Kilda kept their wits, and they made them turn it over, and St Kilda made them pay on the scoreboard going back in, and just started from the centre bounces. You know, David was in there, and the big bodies around the ball just smacked into them and didn't allow Ablett to feel comfortable at all, or any of the other players feel comfortable.
These kids nowadays, I mean, you wouldn't want to be feeding a Jack Nunes when he's 14 or 15 years old. He must have eaten. They're huge.
He's a big boy.
And a lot of clubs have them. They are big units, and they're coming out of your system, like the academy. You've got a couple of real talented Queensland boys coming out this year. Are we getting more of these big-bodied players out of Queensland as well?
Yeah, no, it's low centre of the ground is how you win the footy. You know, you get your nose closer to the football, the Sharon, you'll win more ball than you lose.
Fletcher like.
Hey?
Adrian Fletcher like.
Yeah, I had a big custard, so I used to use that. That was the only thing that was good for. But you got to have that low centre of gravity around the ball. You'll lose your contest. You get hurt on the outside in AFL footy, and as soon as they get it to the outside kickers, it's bloody hard to stop as a defensive unit when it's coming into the forward line when it's laid out.
Saw something unusual on the weekend, and then I'll quickly throw to you and your take on these games with the two boys here, but Bulldogs were quite happy throughout the game against Richmond to concede heavy free kick numbers, especially in the middle of the ground. There was 30-13 in Richmond's favour, 22 of those conceded in the middle of the ground, and they did whatever it took to bring their opponents to a dead stop. They didn't. Just as Kevin Sheedy didn't mind giving away a 15-metre penalty that saw the end of the 15 and the creation of the 50, it looked to me on the weekend as though the Doggies are quite happy to give away a free kick, which is not historically part of footy, because once brought back behind the player to kick over the mark, so ends Richmond's attacking run, and so ended a lot of their forward entries for goals.
Oh, spot on, Finey. You slow Richmond down. They're a high possession team. They like to have 400 possessions a game, and if you slow that down and you have the ability to man them up, they don't find Riewoldt on the lead. He does become focused when they've got their fast ball movement, but if you slow their ball movement down, he's got to jump six deep to take his marks, and they did it well. They only had 350 possessions, Bulldogs, but they went straight when they won it back.
They lost every stat except smothers, tackles, spoils and the scoreboard. Now, gentlemen, over to you. Start off, Fletch, with a quick look. We'll give a couple of minutes only each of these.
Yep.
North and Port Adelaide, and maybe have a chat with Armo about the key midfield role there.
Well, Armo, you probably know him better than me. North Melbourne, who do you think is their engine room in there? Because Dal Sano went down as a halfback flanker, so who do you think they'll go around the ball?
Yeah, mate, they're the same. They're a big-bodied midfield. You know, with Zeeble, he's an absolute tank in there. Cunnington as well. So, it's just going to be a battle of the midfields. They're really big and chunky, and Porter, you know, known for their running capabilities. And so it's actually going to be a really good test, I think. But again, Porter really hard at the ball. I've watched a lot of their last two games, and you know, they haven't been unlucky, but they've put on, they've still played all right. It's just been the pressure on the other teams that they've put on what they normally do. So the other teams have beaten them at their own game. So this will be really a really interesting game, I think.
Got an interesting question for you.
Yep.
Not you.
Well, I can't see.
How are you? Hey, geez, you Glenorchy blokes can change things around up there in Queensland, can't you? What's Rocket doing?
What have we done now?
What's Rocket doing?
Oh, he's had about 8 phones broken on the weekend, I think. Not good. But
anyway, now David, I hope they don't use. I don't think they'll use it against you. You've only got one choice out of this. Would you sit on Goddard or Del Santo in a big game?
Oh, well.
You've been a young fella and watched them as the leaders of St Kilda.
Probably Goddard, because he hates playing on someone.
Hey, Joe, is he your mate of yours?
Yeah.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
Oh, who was the player he hated? There was a bloke that he couldn't stand playing on. I can't remember who it was.
Oh, McKenzie from Melbourne, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He particularly disliked the fact that every time he turned around, he was there.
I'll probably get a message from BJ saying something.
You're listening.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's all right, BJ.
No, Fletcher, serious question. What? You've seen them, you're at the game, you've highly praised for St Kilda.
Yep.
What were you hoping to see from the Gold Coast? What was it?
Well, I'm looking at their inside players. They've got Swallow, Richitelli. I mean, Richitelli had a real crack, and Prestia had a real crack. But, you know, they're not just winning, the other blokes not winning their 50-50s. And when it doesn't go their way, they're trying to get uncontested possessions instead of going actually playing somebody. Like Saad is actually coming the side and gone past a few on their list, but for no reason, I don't know why. And Miller's the same. I don't know who's missing out that should be in the team.
Righto.
It's a worry. There's no doubt. If you look at the list, it's a concern. But one thing Rodney Eade, it's only taken 2 weeks to get the truth, and Rodney Eade said there's a game plan that needs to be rejigged here, and there's a list that needs maybe up to 3 years to get spot on. So it's not all just, you know, create a club, win a flag. We've got to leave it there, gentlemen, which is a darn pity.
Geary or Weller for Pendlebury? No comment, Robert.
No comment.
Righto. Thank you. Good try, Finey.
Flex. Now, this is the most important piece of advice here. Have you got any advice for David Armitage? You're a dog owner, and your dog is the most undisciplined dog I've ever heard
Fletcher's
of.
Fletcher's is,
isn't it? It was on radio more than you were last year, sure.
Feed it lots. And they're happy when you feed them.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Just they might get a bit fat, and you won't be able to push them around the backyard.
Yeah. Oh, well, then they'll have less energy to move.
Yeah.
This is a good idea.
This is Parenting 101. Next week, Adrian, and we'll devote more time and make sure we get
good
stuck
on you,
in.
Fletch. Oh, we had this bloke. Rotation? Well, 3 weeks' time.
We'd love to have you back, David. Hopefully you will come back. The audience loved it. We loved it. And it was a great insight. All the best for the weekend. It'll be a big game against Collingwood. St Kilda's only Friday night game. So to all Saints and Maggie supporters, let's go to the MCG. Make it a big one. We probably won't be playing off in the flag in the grand final like 2010. But we can have a big night and, who knows, springboard one of these clubs into big news.
And don't forget, if you're not a Saints member, you can join up by calling 1300 GO Saints. Thanks for having me, guys.